Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and like I said, it's Friday, so you know what that means.
Start spreading the news.
Well, Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Enjoying the beautiful weather today. Not too hot, and let's keep it going. And it looks like the Cubs are actually going to win a game, too, which is a rarity.
Yeah, well, you know, that happens. And, of course, you know, you got to remember they're playing the other team in the division who is, you know, still dealing with major injuries. So if they're going to beat somebody, you'd like to think this would be it.
Yeah, especially a team with a porous bullpen like they have. And it certainly didn't help them today to keep the game competitive.
Yeah, no, it's been ugly. You know, St. Louis was a pretty good team, and for a while there, it looked like they would kind of run away with the division. And you know, they lost their top three starting pitchers. You know, one came back; they got Kim back, but they're still waiting on Jack Flaherty. I believe Miles Mikolas it's been decided that he'll be out for the year. And then just yesterday, they put Carlos Martinez on the IL, so they're back to missing three starting pitchers.
Yeah, so that's not good. And I also predicted that they would win the NL Central, but obviously I was way off on that one.
Yeah, you know, it's just unfortunate. It's part of the game. So, well,
yeah,
you know, I don't think they'll be back, but.
No, I don't think so. And boy, the injuries this year have been really unbelievable in the throughout major leagues, and for unexplained reasons. I don't know what's causing it, but lots of injuries this season for all the teams.
Yeah, it's odd. I don't know. You know, and it's been like that through sports this year. You know, like I've heard guys try to blame it on the fact that they only played 60 games last year, but they had a full off season. So basically what you're telling me is guys didn't get ready in that time frame?
Yeah, that surprised me because these guys are supposedly professional athletes. And if you're a professional athlete making the kind of money you're making, well, wouldn't it be in your best interest to stay sharp and competitive and in shape through the off season and prepare for the regular 162 game season as we're having in 2021?
Yeah, well, see, that's how I looked at it, but you know, I was just kind of like, you know what, you know, like a lot of times I listen to these guys and I'm like, what in the hell are they talking about? You know, how did they get these jobs? And some of them are former players. You know, like I heard somebody today talking about, you know, it's July 9th. We haven't hit the All-Star break. And apparently Shohei Ohtani is already the American League MVP, even though the Angels are nowhere close to even sniffing the playoffs. But apparently that doesn't matter unless you're somebody they don't like.
Yeah, well, of course he's going to be a strong candidate, that's for sure. No doubt about it. After the first half of the season he's had, and he's doing things that nobody else has ever done, from both pitching and hitting. And obviously he's a strong candidate. And there's a few others in that league, I think, that's going to give him competition when it's all said and done, though. So you can't write him in right now as a given. There's still 80 games to play, or am I missing something?
Well, you know, that's kind of the way I look at it. Like, I would have been okay if they would have said, you know, he's the front runner right now, or they think he's the front runner right now. But to just come out and be like, oh, yeah, he's the MVP. It doesn't matter what anybody else does.
Yeah, what happens if he falls apart in the second half of the season? What if he has a bad second half?
You know, and they're 44 and 42, and I think they're in fourth place in their division.
Yeah, they have been playing better.
You know,
they were pretty far below 500 for a long time, so they've made up some ground. So I suppose they have an outside chance of making the wild card, but it's pretty unlikely, though, that's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, and again, we start talking about a guy, okay, you know, he's got 32 home runs. That's obviously fantastic. He's hitting 290, he's hitting 279, and he struck out 94 times in 81 games.
Yeah, the strikeouts do surprise me. The reason I'm saying that it surprises me is that the Japanese players have a tendency to be more disciplined at the plate and don't seem to strike out as often. They bring these guys over from Tokyo, from Japan, and they seem to have a more disciplined style of hitting. But he's fitting right in with the typical power hitters in baseball, isn't he?
Yeah. You know, he may actually be leading. Well, you know, and then the other thing that bothers me is, you know, he's 4-1. He's got a 3.49 ERA in the 13 starts he's made. So the record is good, and the strikeout numbers are fantastic because he's fanned 87 batters in 67 innings. But you're talking about a guy who barely gives his team 5 innings a game. And, you know, while it's impressive he's doing both, I find it really hard to believe that this couldn't have been done before if teams had let players do it.
Yeah, it's very possible. And my question is, and maybe you might know the answer, is that on a day when he pitches, is he the designated hitter at the same time, or does he just pitch that day and not hit?
No, it's just the National League lineup. It's 9 guys. There's no designated hitter. It's just him.
Yeah.
And then, like, if he's taken out of the game, that's why a lot of times you'll see him go out to the outfield. If he's taken out of the game, they lose the spot, and it's still the pitcher. So then you're using quite a few pinch hitters after that.
Yeah, that's interesting, though, if he comes out of the game and they can't put another designated hitter in. I guess that would make sense when you think about it. Then I guess it doesn't happen for all that often.
Yeah, no, not in the American League. But, you know, like with the MVP thing, it's odd that they handed it to him. Now, there's a guy, you know, hitting 341 with 28 homers, 73 RBIs. He's actually, I believe he's leading the American League in batting average. He also leads in OPS. So, you know, don't listen to me there. His team is actually in the playoff race, but he hasn't been mentioned as an MVP candidate.
Yeah, that surprises me too. I mean, he's obviously the other strong candidate, and I think it's premature, as you pointed out, for even the so-called experts to make it a given right now, because there's a lot of baseball left. There's 3 months left of baseball before it's all said and done. So let's wait until at least a couple of weeks are left in the season before you can start making a judgment call like that.
So, yeah, you know, and again, like I said, I think I would have been better off if they would have said front runner, something like that. But, you know, like, not only today, it wasn't the first time I had heard that. Oh, excuse me. I have heard guys been saying this for, God, probably over a month now. So it's, you know, it's just kind of, you know, ridiculous that you're giving these awards away in, you know, June.
Yeah, definitely premature. And so let's hope that he doesn't go into a slump in the second half of the season.
Yeah, you know, then God forbid, what do they do? Well, you know, and like it was even humorous, you know, he got lit up by the Yankees in a start. And boy, man, were all these guys out there covering their rear ends and making excuses for him like you wouldn't believe. And I was like, well, he faced a better team probably than some of the teams he's been facing, and he got knocked around. You know, that happens.
What kind of excuses did they come up with? Yeah, what kind of excuses?
Oh,
his control was a little
off, and he was just missing his spots, and he was getting squeezed by the umpire, and, you know, it was, you know, on the road, and maybe he didn't get enough proper rest, and I was like, what? You know, I was like, just shut up. I'm like, please, just, you need to shut up.
Yeah, has he had problems when he faced a good hitting team?
Yeah, you know, like every pitcher, he's had his up and downs. But, you know, it's always difficult to tell with him because, you know, he's just not out there long enough. You know, you don't get to see the, you know, how he's going to go through the lineup. I mean, there's times I don't believe he's faced the lineup, you know, a full second time through.
The majority of the time, does he at least go five innings, or has there been some cases when he's only gone through four innings or less?
You know, I know, like, that game against the Yankees, he didn't, I don't think he made it out of the first.
Yeah, that was a
bad
outing for him.
I can check here and see. Let's see. He is, his last start, actually against a good team, the Red Sox, he did last seven innings. That's his longest outing of the season. But in his 13th starts, he's only went more than five innings six times, so less than half of his start, he's made it past the fifth inning.
Yeah, because, of course, if he pitches less than five innings, he's not going to get credit for the win, even if the team has a big lead.
Right, and, you know, I've got it, you know, like his pitch counts here, and they're not ridiculously high. He's only thrown over 100 pitches one time in a game. So it's not, you know, it's not like he's out there throwing pitch after pitch. And I know, you know, like they tried to blame it on wildness and stuff like that, but he doesn't have an absurd amount of walks. He has 35 walks, and a lot of them were early. He had some control issues early. He had 11 walks in his first two starts.
Yeah, well, that's the bugaboo of the average pitcher, of course. If you have good stuff and put guys on with too many walks, it's going to come back to haunt you eventually. But I guess in his case, it hasn't so far, except maybe, I don't know what his, I guess he was pretty wild when he only lasted one inning against the Yankees.
Here he pitched two-thirds of an inning against the Yankees, and he walked four.
Yeah, that'll do it. And surprising that he had that control issue, of course, as you pointed out. The excuses was, what, the umpire was squeezing him?
Yeah. So, but, yeah, you know, when you kind of look at the team's face, he did have a good outing against the Astros, but his team lost. Other than that, the Yankees and the Red Sox have been the only real what you would call big-time hitting clubs. You know, like he faced the White Sox in his very first start, but that was April, and you can't count that.
No.
He has seen Tampa Bay and Oakland, but I don't know if I would consider either of those teams big hitting.
No, so, I wouldn't think. Not a super hitting team. But he's still been impressive. I'm more impressed so far with his hitting than his pitching. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, you know, and like the weird thing is, you know, and I always hate being this guy because I think he's a great player. You know, they make him out to be just this phenomenal, you know, over the top ridiculous guy, and, you know, let's face it, he's not even the best player on his team. I mean, when Mike Trout is healthy, Mike Trout is still the best player on that team.
Yeah, of course. right now he's the best healthy player on the team. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, in reality, you could even kind of question that because Jared Walsh is having a hell of a year for them. And, you know, you wonder where he would, you know, you wonder where he would be if they would have cut bait with Albert Pujols earlier in the season and Walsh had been playing every day.
Yeah, they did hold on to him too long. And, of course, he stayed in California, Pujols anyway, didn't he?
You know, and again, like, the biggest thing is, like, I remember these same guys making a gigantic deal out of how Miguel Cabrera wasn't the MVP when he won the Triple Crown. You know, and how, well, you know, the Tigers are a bad team, you know, an MVP from a non-playoff team, I don't know. And again, you know, we're looking at the Angels, who are at least 10 games out and buried in fourth place in what isn't a great division. And while they have gotten themselves over 500, all of a sudden those rules no longer apply because they like this guy?
Yeah. I guess you're right in that respect, because they may be over 500, but very, very slim chance of making the playoffs. Yeah, so I suggest that the experts relax a little bit before they make a definitive decision of saying it's over with. He's a lock for the most valuable. So there's a long way to go.
Yeah,
you
know,
give,
and I mean, like,
you give
the
credence to the fact that the most valuable, and it hasn't always happened this way. I always think that the most valuable is someone who helps a team make the playoffs, as compared to not, although it hasn't always worked out that way. But it seems to me that that should be some aspect of decision-making. A team in contention with a solid player should have more say than a guy with a last-place team who's hitting .330 and driving in 100 runs.
Yeah, well, now, you know, with the expanded playoffs, you know, too many teams get in. So, you know, when they started doing this and there were four spots, yeah, if you helped your team get in the playoffs, you deserved a lot of credit for it. You know, and then, you know, what a lot of people also forget about Ohtani is, don't forget he doesn't play defense. He's a DH when he doesn't pitch.
Right, that's true. That's true.
He has played some outfield. And, you know, like, the thing that baffled me, and I actually wrote about this on one of the blogs the other, I think, Saturday. You know, the Red Sox have been one of the biggest surprises in baseball. They have two legitimate MVP candidates, and nobody talks about them. You know, Xander Bogaerts is hitting .323 with 13 bombs, and he's clearly the leader of that team. Rafael Devers is at .286 with 21 homers and 71 RBIs right now. Never come up in the conversation. What are these guys looking at?
Yeah, that I don't know. Are they, you think they're still overlooking Boston after the season they're having? I mean, you can't do that anymore.
No, you know, I guess it's possible, but, you know, these are the same guys that, you know, love analytics and sabermetrics, and these numbers should be popping out to them, especially Devers, because he's got 21 bombs, and, you know, they love the home run.
Yeah, of course. Well, there are two, to me, there's two really surprise teams in MLB this season, and Boston, of course, is one of them, and the other one, at least at this stage of the game, is San Francisco.
Yeah. It's two teams that nobody expected to be there. So,
and, of course, I still don't think San Francisco is going to be in first place by the end of the season. They're only, what, about a game ahead of the Dodgers now? They're very close.
Let's see. They are, looks like a game and a half currently.
Okay. Right. But they've been holding that lead for quite a while. I mean, it's pretty... Over the last few weeks, I think it's been about a game and a half consistently. And, oh, by the way, you'll be happy to know that it's official. The Cubs have actually won, but the Cardinals did score three runs in the ninth inning.
Yeah, well, that's no surprise. So,
it was a 10-5 final.
There you go. So, but yeah, so you know, we'll see, and you know, it's going to be sad when they give the award to Ohtani and he just dominates no matter what happens. You know, the voting, and the Angels will be at home watching the playoffs. But you know, that's how it goes. Yeah.
I have a feeling that it's not a given just yet because of some of these other players, Guerrero and some of the others, continue to have great seasons. They're gonna get their share of votes.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't see it. You know, they make up their minds way too early on this stuff, and it's just kind of like, so, you know, it's just, hey, there you go.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't see him hitting 32 homers again for the second half of the season. I guess he'll get close to 50 home runs though, which is a nice number to acquire.
And you know, to be fair, you got to categorize that with if he stays healthy, because he has not found a way to do that yet in his major league career. So
he has had his share of injuries.
But you know, yeah, maybe this is the year. So, but yeah, well, you know, the Cubs were the only early game today. So,
yeah, I think they're on national TV tomorrow night on Fox, and then there's another afternoon game on Sunday. And then there's the break next week for the All-Star game. Yeah, I wonder if that's because of the All-Star game coming up. I'm not sure. But maybe there's some other more important games going on over the weekend. And don't they have a choice? Can't they select a game of more significance at the last minute, or is that too early in the season to do that?
You know, I don't know if they're allowed to do it with baseball like they are football like that. Let me see who they have scheduled. Oh, actually, I know why. There is no Sunday night game. All the games are early because of the break.
So they all started. Is that one of the deals when they all started at the same time, like the last game of the season?
Yeah, not the same time, but the first game has a 12:05 start, and the last three games have 3:10 starts. So TBS does have a game. They have the Yankees at the Astros. So if you want, you know, you'll get that at least.
Yeah, that game might have had more significance if the Yankees hadn't been playing so poorly this season. And they're still in fourth place, if I'm not mistaken, too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and oddly, they have their – just like the Angels, they're a couple games over 500.
Yeah,
so,
and that's certainly not good enough when you look at Boston and you look at Tampa and some of the other teams that are ahead of them.
Yeah.
It's a hard road for them to make the playoffs this season after they're just kind of treading water right now, and that's not going to be good enough.
No, it's been it's been an odd year, but you know, that's, you kind of look at that Yankee roster and, you know, in a way you could see it coming with the way they put together their pitching staff. You know, they knew they had Garrett Cole, but they didn't bring back Tanaka. Oddly, nobody brought back Tanaka. He's pitching in Japan right now. And, you know, they took a chance on a couple of injured guys, Corey Kluber and Jameson Taillon, and they both missed time, and Kluber is actually currently still out.
Yeah, he's been out for quite some time.
So, yeah. I know they were expecting Luis Severino back around the All-Star break. I haven't seen any updates on him, so I don't know how he's doing. But yeah, it's been rough. It's been a rough year for them.
It has. I noticed one thing, and I always thought it was interesting. And say there's a month and a half left to go in the season, and you look at a team, and they're only four or five games out of first place, but there are three teams ahead of them. Despite the fact that they're only four or five games behind, it is tremendously difficult to make up those games. Much more difficult than you would suspect initially.
Yeah, no, well, you know, your only hope to do that is you got to hope you're either playing one of those teams ahead of you and beating them, and those other teams that are in front of you are losing.
Yeah, and it's a combination that doesn't happen all the time. So it's very difficult to make up those four or five games. So I think the Yankees have their hands full now, trying to squeak into the playoffs as a wild card at best.
You know, I mean, they're in the exact same position the Angels are in. They're both 44 and 42. They're both nine games out of first place, and they're fourth place in their division.
Neither one of those teams are in an enviable position. But if they get hot during the second half, there's always a chance they can sneak in somehow.
Yeah. They are only 4.5 out of the wild card. So that, you know, that I think is a little more doable for them with the setup they have. Currently, the wild card teams are Tampa Bay and Oakland.
Yeah, well, those are two familiar names, aren't they? The two teams with limited payroll, but the two teams that are always respectable and always have a chance to make the playoffs, one way or the other.
You know, and I know you want to ask this, so I'll let you know. I don't know if this has been updated, but they have the Cubs as being 7.5 out of the wild card. So it may be 6.5 after the win today, or right now, I should say.
It's very difficult for me to envision the Cubs making the playoffs. And the last percentage, what do they have? They have about a 6% chance of making the playoffs this year?
Yeah, I'm surprised it's even that good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they. I do see them as being sellers after what's happened recently. And I guess the selling can start officially on, what, the 30th of the month?
Oh, it could start now if they could get a deal done.
Yeah, it's a little more. I think it's a little bit easier to get done around that time, though, around the 30th. I don't think they can get a deal done getting out. Now, it'll be interesting, but I doubt it.
You know, I mean, maybe they can get something done coming out of the break, because, you know, the problem becomes the longer you hold on to these guys, the more their value decreases, because this is the only year left on their contract.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm sure the other GMs are looking at that with a hard jaundiced eye, too. And saying, hey, is this
right,
the deal we want to make? Because there's only one year left in the deal.
You know, and I think a lot of it depends on which guy you acquire, you know, because no matter where Chris Bryant goes and, you know, who he get, you know, and what team gets him, unless that team throws him, you know, a big-time multi-year offer, being that he's a Scott Boras client, he's going out into free agency. You know, maybe if you picked up a Baez or a Rizzo, they would sign with you if you were able to work something out. And my guess is if you trade for Kimbrel, he's going to want you to pick up his option for next year.
You would think so, yes. Well, it should be very interesting over the next few weeks to see what happens.
Yeah, you know, because it's weird because they're, you know, the Cubs are one of the few teams to have multiple big-name guys they can move. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, we'll probably see Trevor Story get moved, but, I mean, who else is going anywhere off the Rockies? You know, like I think Charlie Blackman has multiple years. He's not going to go away. You know, Arizona may move Eduardo Escobar eventually, but he's not exactly a gigantic name. And I know he was almost traded to the White Sox about a week ago. So.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. As you pointed out, the Cubs have all the free agents coming up, and what's going to happen with them. And let's assume somebody's, and I'm sure that at least one is going to be going. Do you think it'll take more than 2 years before they can rebuild?
Yeah, you know, a lot will depend, you know, and a lot of this depends on will the Ricketts family spend money this offseason? You know, because if you're willing to go out and get guys, there's no reason you couldn't turn right around, especially in this division. I mean, there's nothing special about this division. There's no dominant team. But, you know, I mean, you're going to have to add money, and for whatever reason, they refuse to do that this year. Yeah, you know, and, you know, Dan is convinced they overextended by, you know, fixing – you know, all the areas around and then buying the hotels and stuff across the street.
Yeah,
but maybe now that fans are back, maybe now that fans are back, we'll see a better, you know, a better take.
Well, I hope they're not thinking, and you pointed something out like this, that even if they put an inferior product on the field, the fans are going to show up in near capacity crowds anyway, because it's Wrigley Field. I hope they're not thinking along those lines.
So, yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, you know, because that's how I believe it was Sam Zell used to think. Remember, his big thing was you just bring in one free agent to get the fans excited and they'll show up?
Yeah.
So.
And, well, the fans show up only if you're a winner.
But. Yeah, you know, and I mean, there are some, you know, some interesting names that are going to pop up on the free agent market, you know, especially pitching-wise. You know, Danny Duffy of the Royals is going to be a free agent, and he's been really sought after, and people would wonder how he would do with a good team. Kevin Gausman, who's leading that Giants rotation right now and is legitimately a Cy Young contender, will be out there. Andrew Heaney is just 31, so, you know, he's always had good stuff. Clayton Kershaw hits the free agent market if the Dodgers let him. Lance Lynn will be out there. Charlie Morton, but at 38, he may just decide to walk away. And then don't forget Max Scherzer. Well, not only Max Scherzer, but Noah Syndergaard hit the free agent market along with Justin Verlander. 9, I thought he was older. So there are going to be some names out there if they're going to be willing to spend that money, but I just don't know if they will.
Well, Scherzer's what, about 36? Now, is he going to be looking for a three-year deal?
Yeah, I would guess 2 with an option, 3 with an option. So.
Well, you think there'll be some teams that are, I guess he's a great pitcher, of course, but he's 36, and are teams going to take a chance on someone who's 36? I mean, yeah, it can happen. There have been some pitchers who have pitched well at that age. But you never know when the string is gone.
Oh, and, you know, Zach Greinke's a free agent, too. I didn't notice that. Yeah, well, you know, the deal is Scherzer doesn't look like he's slowing down. You know, I mean, when he gets hurt, it's just minor. He hasn't had a dead serious injury like Justin Verlander just suffered to cause him to miss an entire season. So, you know, I mean, there's really no reason why a team won't give him his money besides age. And, you know, with his track record, there's no reason you shouldn't.
Would he settle for a 2-year deal without the third year option?
You know, probably not. But you know, with the way the options are designed now, you can put a buyout in it where you can get out of the deal if you don't want it. So,
yeah, that there'll be some interesting decisions for some teams to make when these pitchers become available.
So yeah, you know, and that, you know, that could be, you know, quite interesting, you know, and I'm looking here to see, you know, obviously, you know, they won't, you know, there's probably a really good chance that they're not going to have Chris Bryant back next year, you know, but there are some, you know, unless David Bodie's going to play third base, you know, full time, yeah, you know, there are, you know, not blow you off the chart names with the exception of Jose Ramirez, who has a club option that I guess will be picked up by Cleveland. But you never know, because they are as cheap as the Cubs. You know, if Nolan Arenado opts out, you could get into a bidding war there. You know, Mikel Franco has played really well for the Orioles and is only 29. He was a big-time prospect. You know, maybe you get him on a short deal and see if he can fill in. I don't know if the Cubs have anybody in the minors who could be coming up. I doubt it. But, you know, he could be a fill-in for a couple of years. So, they can find guys if they're willing to spend some money. And my fear is they're just not going to be willing to spend money.
Yeah, that's the name of the game, the green. And they are certainly, based upon this year at least, shown that they don't feel like spending the big money anymore. I'm wondering if some general managers are in the National League, are wondering, or basing their decisions on the fact that the DH will become official in the National League as well as the American League. And I wonder if they're leaning in that direction when the agreement is negotiated.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure they're all hoping it would. I wouldn't be surprised if teams are kind of planning for it to go that way.
Yeah, I think they are, and I think that this time it's going to become official in the National League as well. Although as a baseball purist, I don't like it. I never have liked it. And it's going to take a lot, to me, some of the enjoyment out of the game if it's in both leagues.
Yeah, no, I love the difference in the leagues, you know, and I grew up with it, so I'm really used to it. You know, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's kind of neat that, you know, we have two different sets of rules, but, you know, and it's odd that they complain about pitchers getting hurt because they hit, and yet they bolster Shohei Ohtani like he's the greatest player ever.
Yeah, some pitchers can swing a pretty good bat, but I fear that we're not going to see that much anymore, and I do think it's going to become official, and it's sad to contemplate, but I think they'll be leaning in that direction when the negotiations start.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You know, that's, you know, in my opinion, that's definitely one of the rules that's going to come in. You know, unfortunately, there's just nothing you can do about it. It's going to come in.
Yeah. I would rather have that happen than not change the rule about the extra inning games for next season. Under the new agreement.
Yeah, God, I hope they can do that. I just, you know, I know MLB loves it because it makes the media happy, and for whatever reason, that's what they want is for the media to be happy. So, my fear is that sticks, but, you know, the minute a game goes into extra innings, I turn it off. I don't even care anymore because it's not baseball.
Yeah. Of course, that doesn't the rule does not hold for the playoffs or the World Series, correct?
Well, thankfully. Not yet.
Yeah,
at least.
Yeah, that would be disaster. It's like an NHL game that has the five-minute shootout now and their five-minute overtime in a shootout, then that goes by the boards when the playoffs start, and you get into those great overtime battles in the playoffs, and there's a lot of tension in those games.
Yeah, well, you know, at least in the NHL, when they go into overtime, it's still hockey. It's just one less guy on each side. Starting with a man on second base completely changes the game in baseball.
Yeah, it's really not fair to whoever comes in to pitch. And I don't think that rule's going to stick. I don't think that'll stick. I think the new agreement will revert back to the old way of playing. Yeah, I'd rather see that reversed than worry about the DH in the National League.
Yeah, you know, I hope so. I'm always fearful on what they're going to do and what they're going to trade off for what, because, you know, that's how these things get done.
Oh, I meant to ask you this. As long as we're talking about baseball, did you see the Bartman play in the first inning?
Oh, no, I didn't have the game on. I thought asleep, I think.
Have you heard about it?
No.
Yeah, it was very interesting, and I think there was a runner on base, and somebody had a fly ball to right field, and Jason Hayward was going over, looking like he was going to make the play. Possibly, it was right near the wall, and a fan reached over and grabbed it. And the umpires ruled that fan interference and the batter was out. And of course, that benefits the Cubs. So the Cardinals challenged it, and I thought that the challenge would be upheld, but it wasn't. And he was ruled out.
Ooh. Wow.
And that was a big shock to me. Of course, it was in the first inning of the game and didn't have a material effect on the outcome of the game, obviously. But just think of that rule was in place 15, 16 years ago. The Cubs might have won the World Series. Who knows?
Yeah, well, technically, they didn't have a replay, but, you know, it was there.
Yeah, and by the way, my opinion, that was a wrong call by the umpires. I think it should have been a no call, and the batter should have continued at bat.
Which one, the Bartman one?
No. The one today.
Oh, okay.
But when they showed the – I missed this. When they showed the replay, the fan did actually reach over the wall. I didn't think that was the case, but it's hard to tell if Hayward could have made the call. That ball could have scraped the wall, and who knows, but which way I thought the right decision would have been a no play and let the bat continue, but that's not the way the umpire saw it, and the challenge was not looked upon, and the batter was out, which, of course, benefited the Cubs and Hendricks. Of course, there was a runner on first, I think,
yeah.
And nobody out in the first inning when this happened.
Yeah, well, you know, at least they looks like they got that right. But we did have some fun last night in baseball. I don't know if you caught the highlight of this one. You know, the Nationals were pretty much having their way, Max Scherzer against the Padres last night. I want to say it may have been 8-0 when this happened. You know, the Padres loaded the bases, and their pitcher came up. They had a relief pitcher in the game by the name of, I want to say it's Daniel Carmen Rena, or maybe Carmen Rea. And believe it or not, he hit a grand slam off Max Scherzer.
Yeah, I heard about that. I didn't see the replay of it. I heard about that, and I assume that the didn't affect the outcome of the game, though.
Oh, no. The Nationals still went on to one. But now the win. Now, this is the first time since September 12th of 1985 this has happened. Do you have any idea who that pitcher was? I can even tell you that he was on the Pittsburgh Pirates.
No clue whatsoever.
Just so everybody knows, it was Don Robinson. And then the first time this happened was on April 12th, 1989, and I was just wondering if you were at that game.
I don't think I made it to that one.
So I wasn't sure. And here, I got to throw this in since I was doing it.
Rib shot.
but, yeah, it was actually Bill, I'm going to guess this is Dugleby of the Philadelphia Phillies, who hit as a relief pitcher, hit a grand slam on April 21st, 1898. So.
Yeah, no, I missed that one. Was that televised?
I don't think so. Maybe.
I don't think
you know,
so. Huh?
Did they have TV back then?
I don't think they even had radio. Did they have radio? I don't know if they had radio even.
Maybe not. I wonder if they even had 5,000 people in the seats to see it back then.
Yeah. I have a feeling that Scherzer threw a fastball right down the middle and said, let's get this out of the way.
It was a fastball, but it looked low. And he kind of golfed it out. I was a little surprised when I saw it. So.
Does this pitcher... Has he been hitting? Has he always, I mean, or is he a 100 hitter like usual pitchers are, or does he more respectable when he gets into the game?
Well, I'm gonna take a look here, but to be honest with you, I hadn't heard of him until last night, so I'm gonna have to.
Oh, you said he's a relief pitcher, so he probably doesn't get many at bats anyway.
Reliever. He's had 2 at-bats this year, and he has 1 hit.
Hey.
So,
Well, with my mathematical ability, that sounds like a 500 average to me.
Yes. Hey, maybe that'll earn him some more at-bats.
Yeah. Maybe he'll be like Ohtani now. You know, they'll play him as a – well, there's no DH in the National League, though, so we can't. They can't do that.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, he might have to work on his pitching if he started. He's made two appearances over 4 2/3 of the innings, and his ERA is 9.64. So.
Well, that's that doesn't bode much for much confidence for the guy. But, of course, four innings is pretty limited, so maybe it'll give him a couple more innings and he can get his ERA down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, just one, you know, one 1-2-3 inning will lower that greatly. So.
Yeah, but that was.
Yeah.
I'm sure Scherzer must have been highly embarrassed when that happened.
You know, I think at that point they just laughed it off. But yeah, I'm sure he wasn't thrilled about it. If you know, he told the truth.
I'm sure there was a lot of backslapping at the dugout when the home run took place, and even though the team was still losing 8-4.
Well, yeah, they definitely had a good time with it. So. But, you know, you can't blame them. You know,
that was one of
those things. No.
Yeah, I'll have to look at the replay on that one. Yeah. I have not. I heard about it, but I didn't see the replay.
Yeah. Yeah, just one of those. Oh, okay. Maybe I was completely wrong about this. Let me double check this, because it looks like San Diego actually came back to win that game. So they won 8. They walked it off in the 9th. They actually won 8-9 after being down 8-0.
Wow.
So.
That's an embarrassing loss for Washington.
Yeah. Anytime you blow a game like that, yeah, that's a big deal. But, you know, I know they've been having some issues on the back end of their bullpen. You know, I don't know if Brad Hand is still hurt or just back from injury. So, you know, they've been having some issues back there.
And their hot home run hitter is hurt too, isn't he? Schwarber's.
Unfortunately. You know, that was just a terrible blow.
What is it, a hamstring injury?
Yeah,
or?
They called it a serious hamstring. He's going to miss projected, you know, like, because originally a hamstring can be about 4 to 6 weeks. They expect him out a lot longer than that.
They must have put him on the 60-day list then.
No, I think they still have him on the 10-day. I think if they have to move him, they might. But I believe right now he's just on the 10-day. I'll double check that while we're going here. But yeah, it was
I hate to see that happen. But there has been a proliferation of these hamstring injuries throughout baseball this year.
Yeah, no, he's currently on the 10-day, so.
But it's not
going to be 10 days.
It's going to be a lot longer than 10 days, as you said, right?
I don't believe there's even a projected timetable for him to return yet, so.
Yeah, that's too bad. That's too bad. There was a lot of excitement in baseball, plus he was so hot the last month or so.
Yeah, no, he was killing it, you know, and he had led them, you know, with the way he was playing, they were in second place.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I remember reading one of the managers of an opposing team saying, we can't figure out what to do. We pitched inside, outside, up, down, and he still hits it out.
So, yeah, and they, like I said, there's no timetable, but they described it as a significant hamstring strain.
Right.
So.
And I wonder if the Cubs are embarrassed, by the way, because it said that he got a lot of instructions from the Washington hitting coach, and he adjusted his stance and worked on some of the things the coach told him to work on, and the results were there. And I'm thinking that why didn't the Cub coach, hitting coach, do that?
Yeah, you do wonder, don't you? how that did
you
do.
You certainly do.
So, you know, we'll,
yeah,
we'll,
I feel bad about
you know,
that for Kyle Schwarber because he was so hot and carrying the team, as you point out, they were all the way up to second place, and then that's a tough injury to deal with.
Yeah. All right, well, let's jump into some predictions here since we only have 10 minutes left. You did go 2-2 last week. You split, so you're 42-40. And we'll just jump right into tonight. We got the White Sox at the Orioles, Dallas Keuchel against George Lopez, or maybe Jorge. Who wins the game?
I'll give it now to the White Sox for tonight's game.
Let's get ourselves down to Saturday and find the game here. As we know, the Cardinals are in town to take on the Cubs. It's Wang Hyo Kim for the Cardinals tomorrow, going against Zach Davies. Cubs take two in a row here, or you got the Cardinals bouncing back?
I predict a Cub win for tomorrow night.
Ooh, all right. Yeah, that hasn't gone well for you lately when you make
no,
when you
I
pick the Cubs to win. So.
Yeah. I started out pretty well. Didn't
tomorrow,
I start out winning the first two last week, my predictions, and then losing the last two? I believe that's how it
Yeah, you were right on. So.
I'm due for
and
the
then,
Cubs
all
to
right,
win for me.
Yeah, they definitely owe you. All right, let's get a couple here for Sunday. Let's go with Dylan Cease will make the start for the White Sox on Sunday. Will his strikeout total be, let's say, over 5.5 or under?
I will say over.
All right, going with the over there. And then let's see, what can we come up with for the Cubs game? We have Adam Wainwright against Trevor Williams. Let's go with Cubs home runs, and let's go with over or under 1.5 in the game.
Well, I don't know if the wind will be blowing out or not. I will take a guess and say that it'll be over.
Oh, okay. So you're going with they hit at least 2 on Sunday. There we are. So we are all set. So we will see how these go. So we have the White Sox tonight, the Cubs tomorrow. And then on Sunday you have Dylan Cease getting over 5.5 Ks and the Cubs hitting over 1.5 home runs.
Well, I also have a prediction for you. I know your favorite.
Oh, yeah?
I have to ask you your prediction on your favorite sport. Does Milwaukee come back and win game number 3 against Phoenix?
Yes, because they're at home, so
they
will win.
And how about the second game? Will they even the series then?
You know, I'm not so sure about that. I could see the Suns closing it out in 5, so it wouldn't surprise me if. You know, that if they went that way. So I would say no. I would say I go something 5.
Yeah, and but if you had asked me my prediction of the Stanley Cup Finals, I would have been way off because I really thought that Montreal was going to beat Tampa. I didn't see Tampa winning two in a row like that.
Yeah, no, they were the best team all year. So I guess it makes sense they won.
Montreal hasn't won the cup in a long time, and of course that's Canada's is hockey, and it seemed like they were overdue to win one, and it's so hard to win back-to-back Stanley Cups, and that's why I thought Montreal would take it, but I was way off because Tampa wound up winning easily in 5 games.
Yeah, so you know it just kind of. Kind of went the way I think everybody expected it to. So.
Yeah, the best team won. It doesn't always happen that way. It's like a horse race sometimes. Why is it so difficult to win some money paying the horses? Because the best horse doesn't always win the race.
Yeah. You know, and well, you know, and with baseball, with hockey, we talk so much baseball. I was still on that. you know, with hockey, you get those upsets. I mean, we've seen plenty of eighth-seeded teams win the Stanley Cup before.
Yes, we have.
So, no, it would have been no surprise at all had, you know, Montreal won. It's just one of those things that happen in baseball or in hockey. See, I'm still
in
stuck
hockey,
on.
Right. You're still talking about baseball,
yeah.
But yeah, it like you say, the best team doesn't always win, but in this case, it happened, and you have to give them props. Not that the games are that were blowouts by any stretch of the imagination. They're, most of them are all close, low-scoring games. And look at the last game, how it wound up. You don't see a 1-0 game to wrap it up very often in the finals.
No, yeah, I was really shocked, but you know, Tampa has some really talented players.
They do. Well, they have a good football team, and they have a good hockey team,
yeah.
A good baseball team.
Yeah, they don't have a basketball team, so we're
no,
off
they
the
don't
hook
have a
there.
Basketball team.
Were you surprised?
I have to tell you one thing, by the way, that we talked about a few weeks ago. We were talking about the low-scoring games in the WNBA. I did find out that their games are only, their quarters are only 10 minutes.
I wanted to
make sure we talked about that. We weren't sure if it was a 12-minute quarter like the NBA or not, and it's not. So they play 10-minute quarters, 40-minute game, which makes sense.
I was just wondering if you were surprised at all with the with the attendance today for the Cubs Cardinals. It was announced as 36,192, and you know, do you see sellouts all weekend because it's the Cardinals?
Near sellouts. I don't think it's going to be 40,000 plus like that because the Cubs are just not playing all that well, neither are the Cardinals. But I see 35,000 to 38,000 for the next two games.
Yeah, because I thought that was, you know, that's a really good crowd for a Friday afternoon because,
yeah,
you know,
definitely.
There are people that work.
Definitely.
So.
And, perhaps it'll be SRO tomorrow. Who knows? For the nationally televised game on Fox. My hope is that Joe Buck is doing the game, though. I hope.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm sure that's who we're going to get stuck with.
Yeah, that is unfortunate, but it's a 6 o'clock game. I guess 6:15 start tomorrow night. And by the way, I'm sure Fox selected this game ahead of time and thinking that the Cubs and the Cardinals will be battling it out for the NL Central. But of course, that's not the case.
No, they're just trying to stay out of the cellar. So
yeah, you think the Brewers are a lock now to win the division?
You know, as long as they can stay healthy, you know, with all the injuries going around, I think if their top two pitchers stay healthy, they should cruise.
Yeah, they won a very tough game last night, a come-from-behind game against Cincinnati, who's now in second place. And they wound up winning.
Yeah.
Milwaukee wound up winning 5-3. And they have...
Go ahead, because we're going to start our weekend here.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that they're a shoo-in, it seems to me.
But don't forget to finish the season just at Sports Time Radio. Just either look me up on Twitter as well.